Welcome to Let's Talk Death, conversations to inform and inspire. Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a nonprofit providing the tools and resources to support one's journey with grief. We seek to empower individuals to achieve a healthy post-bereavement growth. Everything we do is inspired by our core belief that no one should ever grieve alone. Let's Talk Death is a series of conversations with some amazing people from various fields. Our goal through these conversations is to normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief. Hello, welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Death. I'm Fran Solomon.
And I'm Andy McNeil.
And we are thrilled to be your host for these conversations.
Our guest today is Amanda Alvarez. Amanda is an international board of lactation consultant. Amanda currently works at Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas as an education and enrichment manager. She provides clinical lactation care, manages a multi-site baby cafe cluster, and directs other educational programming for the organization. She represents Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas and Tarrant County Breastfeeding Coalition through leadership and participation in multiple local reproductive health coalitions, including Texas Breastfeeding Coalition, United States Breastfeeding Committee, and the United States Lactation Consultant Association. Amanda lives with her husband and their three children and a menagerie of pets. She enjoys running, cooking, travel, and volunteer work in social justice. And Amanda, we are delighted to have you as a guest on our show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Amanda, let me ask you, an important part of your work with Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas centers around grieving parents. May I ask, did you have a personal experience that maybe brought you to that work?
Definitely. Working in the maternal child health space always involves loss because, unfortunately, women and babies don't always make it through. But personally, I experienced stillbirth twice in my life, both around 22 weeks each time. And that took what I knew from training and education to a completely different level of, you know, having that personal perspective and experience. So it definitely shaped my practice and the way that I interact with other families.
A lot of people who attend the groups with Heal Grief and those types of things, for them to they feel a greater sense of connection with someone who's been there, you know, who understands on a personal level what that experience of loss is. So I could see where that has had an impact, obviously, on your work.
Yeah, you know, the experience is never the same from one person to the next. But just to be able to meet somebody where they are and kind of, you know, acknowledge that they're exactly where they are at that time. I think it's hard to do that without some experience.
Yeah.
So I'd like to dive more into that work that you do or that aspect. But before we do that, can you share a bit of the overall mission?
Yeah. So Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas is a nonprofit milk bank, and we're affiliated with other nonprofit milk banks all over North America. We're governed by the Human Milk Banking Association of North America. But basically what all milk banks in the nonprofit space do is we are committed to providing safe, donated breast milk to medically fragile babies. That's typically a baby who's born very premature or very sick. And we provide milk in the NICU setting, sometimes when babies get to go home for the NICU, but they still have a need for extra milk, we're still providing that milk. And some babies we've gone on to feed well into childhood because of severe medical conditions.
Wow, very important work. And let me ask you, so when a mother has a child that doesn't survive and they're still lactating, is that the person I assume that's the person you're working with, and are they volunteering? How does this
yeah.
work?
You know, each year our milk bank works with roughly 1,000 donors. And these are healthy people who have more breast milk than they need. So the majority of them do have a living infant. About 5% of our donors are parents like what you described. They've given birth and they've started the process of making milk. And unfortunately, their babies don't make it. So they find themselves with milk that they know the value of. It's been life-saving medicine for their own babies for as long as possible. And they want to see that kind of continued forward as a legacy. And so they donate the milk that they have. Some of them choose to continue pumping and continue making milk. And what we see is the ones who set that as their goal, right? They want to continue lactating. They want to continue pumping and donating over time. What that gives them is the opportunity to wean from that on their own terms, right? They didn't have a lot of say over what happened and what went wrong, but their body's doing the right thing. Their body's doing the natural and expected thing. And that is really empowering for people. So to get to continue that for as long as they want to, and then safely and comfortably stop, is such a valuable experience for a parent who's already grieving the loss of an infant.
Yeah. Having the ability to have control over something when you're going through something that you have absolutely no control over is helpful. Do you also provide, so for mothers who that might be the situation that they're in, do you all provide any sort of connection with other mothers? Do you provide any sort of support? If you can talk a little bit about that aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we will support someone in continuing to breastfeed as long, or not breastfeed, but continuing to lactate and provide milk for as long as they would like to. We also provide support for people who are ready to stop. Stopping lactation is difficult. It can be painful and it can be risky. It can risk infection. And so as a lactation consultant, it's my job to help that person no matter what their goals are, if it's to continue or to stop. So those are two levels of support that the milk bank provides. We also have a beautiful memorial here in our office. It's a tree called Carmen's Tree, and it's a beautiful wooden tree on the wall in our lobby. It has leaves on it for each baby who's passed and donated milk. It has their name and their birth date. It's beautiful and it's moving, but my favorite thing about it is that people come to visit it. It's a physical space where they are acknowledged as a parent, whether they have other children or not. It's a place they get to go on anniversaries and birthdays and when family comes to town. Sometimes it's the only memorial that people have. And so I love when people come to visit the tree and, they take pictures and they really use it as a focal point of celebrating who their baby was and how it not only touched their life, but other people's lives because of the donation.
Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a 501c3. As a nonprofit, we are reliant on the kind generosity of our donors. If you are inspired by our mission, we ask you to go to healgrief.org/donations to help us continue our great work. No gift is too small.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that many in society still feel that, well, if you didn't have the baby, you didn't lose the baby, not understanding that not only is there a physiological, biological change in a woman's body, there's also a psychological change. I think the term is nesting that goes on in preparation of having a child and the dreams you start to foster and what that's going to look like and whether a baby makes it to a natural childbirth and or not and die shortly after. All those dreams are crushed. So it's grieving so many levels. And again, I go back to, it's unfortunate that most of society doesn't see it that way. So I believe that these mothers are very isolated in their grief.
Definitely. What we hear from the families that we serve through that program is that often we're the only people who ask them about their baby, ask them to tell us their story, use their baby's names. We're not afraid to send them a card on their baby's first birthday. We know that we're not reminding them of something they've forgotten, right? But we're able to, remind them that, yeah, of course this baby, mattered and will always matter in your life and will always matter to us.
Yeah, that must be very moving and sometimes difficult work for you is the support.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. You know, anytime you work with someone who's experiencing, you know, deep and powerful emotions, you can't help but share and relate. I like to think that it, you know, helps me be more compassionate for where they are in that space. You know, grief doesn't always look like sadness. It can look like anger or confusion or all these other things. So, yeah, it's physical, right? Like, I'll do this interview with you today, but I won't do another one today on this topic, right? I train our staff on working with bereaved parents. I do one of those trainings every couple of weeks. I can't do that day in and day out. It's very heavy work, but it's essential. Like, I still remember the people who were there for me when that was my experience and the ones who continue to bring it up and, you know, continue to care about that experience with me.
Yeah, I have a friend, and she had had a child die, and it had been about 10 years. And I actually asked her, and I used her child's name, and I said, "What do you think she would be doing today?" You know, yeah. And she just cried and said, "I can't believe you remembered. Nobody talks about her."
Yeah, when parents share the news that that's happened, and I'm sure it's true in other relationships, but people seem to really want to solve that problem for them and, you know, say, "Well, at least this," or, "But maybe you can do that," and kind of dismiss the way that they're feeling right then and right now.
I had an organization that I ran a number of years ago, and we provided supportive counseling to parents who had a child die, and that population of perinatal infant loss, those mothers were often sometimes disenfranchised or dismissed by just others around, even peers around them. And mm-hmm. and we found that they often like to connect with one another just to get that acknowledgement, and even sometimes acknowledgement even just from their immediate family and just closest friends. We're not talking strangers. We're talking about people in their own lives who just don't have a clue of what it really means to go through a loss like that. And that it's not just a moment in time. It's now a part of their life and a part of their story.
Definitely. It changes everything. And it should, right? Like, you know, this whole other person existed. And so it does change everything. And I think being afraid to talk about it is really common, especially with other childbearing women and families. Obviously, it's not contagious, but, you know, people fear for that for their own selves. And so I think they struggle to connect with somebody else who's gone through that. We typically host an event annually. October is Infant Loss Awareness Month. And we like to host something and invite families to come together, not just to come visit the tree, but to come together at once. COVID has definitely harmed that. I facilitate support groups on several different topics. And yeah, it's losing that sense of physical community has been really significant the past year and a half. But we're hoping to be able to invite people back soon. We have instituted a second memorial. It's a scrapbook that we created, you know, inviting families to share pictures and letters and, you know, mementos. And definitely we see families love to look through that and see the stories of other families. They don't want to just see their baby's memorial as part of that. They want to see that they're part of this thing that's, that is more common, that, you know, that does happen frequently.
Do other organizations follow a similar model where they actually provide the support for grieving mothers?
You know, each milk bank operates kind of independently. We're governed the same way with safety standards, but our programs can look like the community that we're situated in. Every milk bank that I've visited has some way that they recognize and support grieving parents. You know, we feed medically fragile babies, and so there are times that death is part of our work. We support women who are breastfeeding and lactating and having babies, and therefore grief is always going to be part of our work. So every milk bank might have a different way that they do it. I've seen some beautiful memorials all over the country that are all very different from one another, but they all serve the same purpose.
Well, I tell you, you all are doing wonderful work. It's impacted my family personally. My oldest daughter was born 30 weeks. She was in the hospital for 2 months. You know, all the machines, she had an underdeveloped lung. And there's absolutely no way my wife would have been able to produce the amount of nutrition that she needed, that our daughter needed. And so we, you know, we used the services of a lactation, you know, bank, like what you're doing. And, you know, I have a personal appreciation for what you do, for sure. She's now 25 years old and living her life. So,
yeah, you know, human milk is literally life-saving medicine when we talk about sick babies. It's always a wonderful choice for healthy babies. And, you know, we want to support people in achieving that. But for fragile babies, you know, it prevents infection and literally, you know, shortens their NICU stay, gets them home, gets them healthy faster, and prevents death in most cases.
Yeah, we're almost out of time. But before we ended our conversation, a lot of times people who are watching these episodes like to know how they can connect with our guests. And I wonder how people might connect with you and your work, how they might do that.
So to connect with me personally, you can email me. My email address is amanda@texasmilkbank.org. I also would invite people to visit texasmilkbank.org. We have a full page dedicated to loss and bereavement resources. We're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but not all the resources linked there are. Some of them are, you know, websites. There's some great, really practical information, some skills like hand expressing breast milk for comfort. That's a really important skill for someone, especially if they don't have a baby to help them with that. So we've got some links to learn how to do that and how to connect with a lactation consultant. All that's on our website.
Amanda, we want to thank you so much for being a guest here at Let's Talk Death and for sharing your personal story and the story of your work. It's great work. Great work. Thank you.
I'm lucky to get to do it. Thanks.
If you would like to learn more about Heal Grief, visit us at healgrief.org. To find other conversations or to inquire about becoming a guest speaker, visit us at healgrief.org/letstalkdeath. And if you feel inspired to support us, remember, no gift is too small. Visit us at healgrief.org/donations, or you can donate right through our homepage. Well, that's it until next time on Let's Talk Death, where we normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief.